Oh. We'll use the mic then. Maybe I'll start with the mic. And then apparently the acoustics are bad, so the mic's probably
helpful. We should use the mic. With the mic, it'll work.
Yeah, I think so. It is it's certainly an enormous thrust for all of us here at NTSY Colel to be able to host Herr Rosenzweig for the first time, to be able to have him here and with the program throughout the day. That has been a very unique opportunity. The feedback after even 2 days has been truly remarkable, and I believe that we as a Colel are benefiting so much from Rosenzweig, from his Torah, from his insights, and from his perspectives. Just standing here even right now, looking around the room a little bit, it's an amazingly beautiful scene of people that have never heard Rosenzweig speak before. Some of the NTSYers here are having their first exposure, able to hear Torah from him, as well as a variety of people that I know I recognize from my time in Shir, and that I'm sure many people here that are longstanding Talmidim of Rosenzweig that have come out to be able to take advantage of the opportunity to hear him here in Eretz Yisrael, and to hear him here on the NTSY Colel. It's something which is truly very, very special and speaks in many ways to the power of Mesorah, to what it means to be in a room with past, current, future Talmidim, who are all thirsty to be able to hear Torah insights and Torah perspectives. The topic of the Leil Iyun more generally tonight is focused on Emunah and our relationship with Hashem. The topic here is to focus more on the role of learning Gemara Be'iyun in the context of both our Avodas Hashem generally and perhaps our Emunah as well. The feeling of the Ribono Shel Olam, that a person that is certainly present when we're sitting there and we are learning. And the format, I believe, will be, I'll start with a question. I guess we'll see how many questions we get to, depending on time. But we will, introduce it with an intriguing question. A friend of mine formulated it as follows today. Salvechik described very beautifully how when he was giving shiur sometimes, the feeling and the presence of when quoting a Rambam is that the Rambam entered the room. And quoting the Ravid, the feeling of the presence of the Ravid in that room as well, Rabbeinu Tam and Reb Chaim, the feeling that these figures are very much alive, and the Mesorah is the Mesorah which is present. When we're learning, are we supposed to also feel that Hashem has entered the room? Are we supposed to feel as well that while we're learning, that real connection to the Ribono Shel Olam, as if there's a certain kind of Hashras Hashchina in that moment? And if we are not feeling that, if Rebbe has any sort of perspectives or advice to help better appreciate that feeling of connection to Hashem while learning.
Sharing a microphone?
I think so. That's okay.
Firstly, Poskim Bechvod Aksanya, I want to just thank our hosts, those who run the Colel in the summer. It's really a pleasure to be here. As Rav Turetsky mentioned, it's really I've spoken here before, but I haven't really participated. But I've certainly benefited over the years from having wonderful Talmidim who've gone through this experience. Some of my very special Talmidim, run the Kolel, and many are Magide Shir, including Rav Turetsky, who's an extremely valued special Talmid. Many of the Madrichim are Talmidim of mine in the present, and it's really wonderful to be with them as well, and of course to get to know the next generation. I've already been impressed with the questions and the interest and so on. So just to begin by thanking everybody who's been involved in bringing us here, it's really very special and it's a pleasure. With respect to the question, I think it's an interesting way to formulate and to frame the question. What I would say is that the Rav's, very impassioned you know, really Dvarim Ayotzim Alev. The Rav was, you know, a Chad Bedara, and he had a singular capacity to express things, and especially to express the interface between intellectual and sophisticated, sophisticatedly formulated ideas on the one hand, but to integrate them, you know, with certain spirituality, experiential religiosity, you know, on the other. And his description of, you know, every shir as a conversation, you know, an intergenerational conversation between Chachmei HaMesorah, obviously is very dramatic, and it reflects his, you know, capacious ability to, you know, to describe things and to articulate them, etc. But if you heard, you know, it's on tape apparently, that particular, but if you heard the Rav in these... If you heard the Rav in these contexts, you would know that as dramatic as it was also every bit as much real and Dvarim Hayotzim in Alev. What I would say is the capacity for a Shir and Gemara or Halacha or Hashkafa to achieve that status of being like a framework for an intergenerational conversation where the personalities, you know, continue to be dynamic, continue, you know, to impact on the audience, where the conversation, you know, isn't a fossil of the past, you know, but endures not only in terms of its relevance, halacha lemaisa, but the ferment and the creativity and the ideas. None of that would be possible, or frankly, I think is possible. The Rav certainly didn't think that it would be possible in other disciplines. Or if the study of Torah on a sophisticated level, Limud HaTorah bi'iyun, Limud Halacha bi'iyun, more particularly, wasn't itself the most acute and accessible expression of Dvar Hashem, of God's word, that has been, you know, transmitted to us. The greatest gift that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us, of course, is the Torah Bereishis Bara Elokim, Bishvil HaTorah Shenikra Reishis, Yom HaShishi, right? If not for the sixth day of Sivan, you know, there would have been no purpose to the world. You know, Kadosh Baruch Hu was, you know, Istakil Be'oraisa Ubara Alma. Torah is considered to be the blueprint of the world. It's what makes the world purposeful and significant. The quandary, you know, of life is to find, you know, meaning in our existence. We, you know, consider ourselves to be elevated from the, you know, mineral and plant and animal world because we have the power of articulation, Ruach Memahalla. But, you know, that's a double-edged sword. We're also more thoughtful and more reflective. And so the question of, you know, what we're doing here, why we're here, you know, what is our goal in this fleeting life, you know, that human beings who are so fallible and so puny in the bigger picture of things live, you know, what that role is something which, you know, is a prevailing, dominant thought all of our lives. And the Torah answer, the halakhic answer, is the answer of Kishem Hashem Ekra HaVogodel Lalokeinu. Gemara says in Masechet Brachos that the source of Birchas HaTorah is the pasuk in the end of Devarim, Kishem Hashem Ekra, if I call the name of God, Havu Godel Elokeinu, then we should pay homage to that living God. Gemara says that's a source for Birchas HaTorah, and of course it's very tamua. What is Kishem Hashem Ekra? What does calling the name of God have to do with learning Torah, Birchas HaTorah? The Ramban, of course, codifies this in his Sefer HaMitzvot. The Ramban says that Birchas HaTorah is a mitzvah d'oraisa. Based on this pasuk, he takes the Gemara in Brachos to be a din d'oraisa, Kishem Hashem Ekra HaVogodel Elokeinu. And the Ramban also tells us, famously in his introduction to his Perush on the Torah, that the entire Torah is Shemosav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the bigger message of the Gemara and of the Ramban, and the Ramban articulated it, but, you know, like all the great Chachmei HaMesorah, you know, he was speaking on behalf, you know, of all of us. is that belief in God and a sense of our mission and our purpose in life comes from trying to relate to, created identification with, a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, something that seems philosophically impossible, but that the Torah, as a gift, allowed us to accomplish this indispensable and also necessary, even if it seems out of reach, possibility of developing a relationship with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The way that we do that is through the Torah that He gave us. This is Devar Hashem, the Word of God, Ritzon Hashem, God's will. And therefore, the Gemara says that when you learn Torah, when you study a Daf Gemara, a Pasuk in Tanakh, the Farshim, Hashkafa, what you're really doing is you are getting to know the Ribbono Shel Olam. Kishem Hashem Ekra, you're calling His name. The only way we can call His name is to attach ourselves to the transcendent information, material, values, Shakla Vitarias, you know, that He gave us. And in that sense, Kol HaTorah Kula is Shemosav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the more we learn, the deeper we learn, the more we try to find the patterns and the implications of what we learn, the more we understand the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning we understand Him. Haskel via Doa Osi. The way to achieve our goal of living a meaningful life, a life in the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam, touching transcendence, if you will, is through the Torah that He gave us. If not for that, then this mystical, but, you know, almost ineffable relationship that the Rav described, the intergenerational conversation, you know, couldn't possibly take place because the world is in flux, things change. If you looked at everything on a purely superficial and physical level, you know, there can be no real conversation between a person of the 20th or 21st century and someone, who was writing at the turn of, you know, time itself, the Avos, you know, the Tanaim, the Amoraim, certainly the differences, the flux, the different challenges, the technological advances, etc., all of that would have been a barrier to there being an intergenerational conversation which remains exciting and the most relevant, even as it's the most enduring. And therefore, I hope I'm not, you know, sidestepping the question, but if the Ribbono Shel Olam weren't implicitly part of those conversations couldn't pack the excitement, frankly, and the significance and the meaningfulness that they do. So in that sense, I think, the next step is to try to understand, you know, what Chazal tell us, what the Halacha requires of us, Dvar Hashem, to attach ourselves to it in as deep a way as possible, really to learn who the Ribbono Shel Olam is and what His will is, Kishem Hashem Ekra. It's not a coincidence that Torah study is not only the source of Emunah. I mean, the Rambam says that, Yediyas Hashem is the source of Avas Hashem. And of course, Avas Hashem is the, when you go beyond the abstract question of belief in the presence or existence of God, which is more like a theological or a philosophical truth, to the way that that affects your life, you're speaking about Yiras Hashem and Avas Hashem. According to the Rambam, in Mor Nevuchim, in Sefer Mitzvos, in Yad HaChazakah, everything that he writes, the more you know, the more you love, meaning the more you attach yourself to Torah, to its words, to its concepts, to its values, the more real and concrete the Ribbono Shel Olam's presence is, he becomes not only in every intergenerational conversation, but in the back of our minds, in times when we're doing other things, but we're living a life which is committed to Halakha. So that's the beginning of the answer.
I don't know if Rebbe has yet made it down to the basketball courts here, but while we spend a decent amount of time here in the Beis Medrash, a lot of the schedule, so the people are, you have guys who are playing sports, basketball and hockey, people that are there that are going on trips throughout the day, and we definitely try to instill certain values in which it isn't only that we learn in the Beis Medrash during the day, but our sports are the same sports you'd find anywhere else, or our tiulim are the same tiulim. But we strive to create a culture where the games are different kinds of games. The sportsmanship is better, the midos are of a higher quality, that we're trying to establish a certain kind of tone where the Beis Medrash impacts that which takes place outside as well. The Gra pointed out, which I think is probably already at minimum implicit in a variety of Gemaras, which is that sometimes people do learn that morning Seder, and sometimes people do spend time learning Gemara Be'ian, but then they turn around and it didn't transform their midos on the court. They turn around and sometimes their behavior is not what we would exactly hope it to be. So if learning Gemara Be'ian, if learning Gemara or learning Torah, any kind of Torah, is an encounter with the divine, and that encounter is supposed to transform us, so I guess my question is, why is it that sometimes that form of Torah study can be transformative? It can elevate a person. It can allow them to become a better all-around person, a certain kind of character. And why is it that other times Torah almost becomes like a Sam HaMaves? Or maybe if not that extreme, at minimum, one doesn't see the kind of shift in character. It's the same basketball they played before they started. And I don't only refer to basketball, but that more is a model relevant to the NCS Wires here in the program.
I did visit the basketball court today. I was very tempted, but I, you know, held back. I wasn't sure if I could bring the proper, you know, value and Musar, you know, level to the game. And I didn't want to. I saw everybody was playing in a way which really reflected the Beis Medrash, and I was, you know, I didn't want to, you know, disrupt that. But in all seriousness, I think what Rav Tversky is describing is very, very critical, very important. And, you know, it allows me a little bit to continue what I was speaking about before. If Talmud Torah was only, you know, a fascinating intellectual exercise, which it also is, because the people, the Chachmei HaMesorah, that intergenerational, you know, group that, you know, forms the foundation and continues to be so relevant, but which we continue to add to when we pursue Torah study with the proper methodology and with the proper lishma and hashkafa. Obviously, it is very fascinating dealing with great intellect, you know, great people of great moral character. But as I indicated earlier, it's, you know, their commitment to Anochi Hashem Elokecha and V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha and, you know, V'yareisa Me'elokecha, which really elevates and, you know, which really informs the passion and the depth and the sophistication, you know, of their study. So I think the challenge always has been to try to maintain that, you know, integration. It can be very heady. You know, you can sometimes get caught up in the intellectual side of it, and the intellectual side is critical because it's about Yedias Hashem and Yedias Torasso. A good svara, rigorous analysis, you know, is part of that. And, you know, you can, there's a certain headiness in that intellectual, you know, acumen or sophistication, which can sometimes, you know, be distracting. Rabbi Tversky used the phrase, Sama Maves. The Gemara really speaks about this in Nedarim, and Daf Pei Aleph. The Gemara speaks about, you know, Psukim that talk about, you know, Klal Yisrael, about the Rabbon Shalom leaving Klal Yisrael, Ozvu Es Torasi, that somehow Klal Yisrael were forsaking, you know, Torah study and Torah observance. And the Gemara was troubled because it doesn't seem like at that time, or, you know, the reference in that pasuk is actual transgressions or even, you know, batala from Torah. And the Gemara ultimately concludes that al-ozvam es Torasi refers to shelo birchu batorah tchila. They didn't make a birchas haTorah. And there are all sorts of interpretations that are given, the Ran and the Darim, and others, etc. What I prefer, and I think the Ran is certainly also getting to this as well, is that the Gemara is addressing this exact question. What the Gemara is saying is, and the Gemara actually says specifically, sometimes the children of Talmid HaChachamim are more prone to forget to make a Birchas HaTorah, you know, than others. And as the Mefarshim explained, we're not talking about actually saying the brachos, lasso, commit the Torah, the harevna, Asher Bachar Banu. Let's assume that everybody is, you know, coming to Davin, and or at least they have their Sidurim, and they're actually saying the words. But the point is, if you divorce the intellectual aspect, the knowledge part, even sophisticated knowledge, that should, you know, obviously reflect a certain transcendence, and therefore the idea that leads to Ava, the grandeur and the majesty of halakhic thinking, you know, that is in its own right, if we're only able to open our eyes, you know, touching transcendence and a reflection of the divine presence and the divine word. But sometimes, if we get distracted from that, we don't fully appreciate Birchas HaTorah, Kishem HaShem Ekra, Hovu Godel Elokeinu, that this really, this entire enterprise is animated by and elevated by, you know, the goal of Yedias HaShem, Askel V'Yadoa, see, then that can be a very dangerous thing. And sometimes when you grow up, you know, in a house of Talmidei Chachamim, you know, this is kind of the family business. This is what you do. You're the benefit of, you know, instinctively being connected to it, which, let me make clear, is far, far greater a benefit than a liability. It's a huge advantage. It's also something, you know, that people can create for themselves and create for their families, as many of the Chachmei HaMesorah and great Talmidei Chachamim of our and other generations have done. It's not a pagam if you don't have it. But it comes with a certain danger that you take it for granted, or that you begin to, you know, perceive it, you know, in a narrower way. So I think that the antidote is always to be omni-aware of this Birchas HaTorah, Kishem HaShem Ekra, and of the principles behind it. Lasok b'divrei Torah. Torah is not something that you, in the Ashkenaz Nusach of the Bracha, that you just, you know, learn, but you are completely preoccupied with. You're interested in not the words only, or solving the problem, or answering a good kasha, or asking a good one, but what the implications are for your own life, for your own values, maybe even on the basketball court, or the hockey rink. You know, I have to give a nod to the Canadian, my Canadian background. But it's absolutely the case that if you are aware of, and you bring, you know, to the table, the Shulchan HaLimud, and if your learning is suffused with the Avas Hashem, the Yiras Hashem, the awareness that this is Kishem HaShem Ekra, then obviously every aspect of your life, Lasok B'Divrei Torah, you know, the Chazal were troubled, you know, Balei Tosis, you know, to speak about this a lot, other Rishonim, why we don't make a separate Birchas HaTorah, you know, every time there's a obvious hefsek from Limud. Tosim Brachos Yud Aleph Amud Beis asks this question. Other Rishonim, the Rush, among others, makes the suggestion that if you're learning properly, then even when you're not learning, you know, you're still connected to the learning that you did. That's Lasok B'Divrei Torah. That's on the basketball court, on the tennis you know, court, on, you know, whatever it is, dealing with your, you know, friends, in business, etc. If it's Vaharevna, you know, you treat Torah as something which is, you know, a delicacy and a delight, you know, something that you're enthusiastic and can't get enough of. And if it's Asher Korban Mikalo Amim, you understand that Skulas Yisrael is contingent upon living a life of Torah, immersing yourself in Torah and in its values. The Gemara says, you know, the Bracha of Asher Korban Mikalo Amim, the Gemara says in Brachos, is the Hameula Shebekulan. And therefore, the Gemara says a strange thing. You should say all three. Meaning, once you realize that Birchas HaTorah is a statement not just about success in learning, understanding of the Gemara, answering the kashas, and enjoying, you know, the ride, which you should, but is also about Bechiras Yisrael and the purpose of life, so then you should also add Vaharevna and Lasok B'Divrei Torah as well. So I think this mindfulness, and it spills over in the depth of our understanding as well. I mean, asking additional questions, seeking, you know, to uncover more patterns. You know, all this takes time in a lifetime of learning. No one should get, you know, discouraged or disappointed if you can't do it, you know, right away. But even the way that we learn, and the Mulchamta Shel Torah, and even its intensity, all of these things can underscore and highlight the purposiveness of it, and that is what translates into values all other aspects of life. That's what completely negates any perspective of compartmentalization.
I know that for me and for many of the people in this room that have heard Rebbe give shiurim over the years, there's sometimes this experience in sitting in the shiur, where it can be in a shiur or it can be in an article, where there can be a lot of questions in the beginning, and it can be very unclear where things are going, and sometimes it seems like a particular risho, and I'm learning a Rambam, and it's against a different Rambam, and there's a lot of questions that come up. And throughout the course of the shiur, so there can be a yisod, and the yisod can be there to help explain and answer particular questions. There's definitely something so beautiful about Torah all clicking together, about being able to see in the psukim, in the Mamari Chazal, in the Rishonim, how it all sort of comes together. For many people in their Torah experience, they don't always experience it that way, and we end with Tzarech Iyans. It could be that a person is 15 years old, and the Tzarech Iyan may be, I just don't know what all the words mean, I just don't know how it all makes sense. It could be the person is Kiv'eger, and it's a Tzarech Iyan, I think, of a different level in terms of what exactly Kiv'eger was stuck with. I guess if Rebbe could share, I imagine that the emunah that we have becomes all the more important when we're leaving things in a Tzarech Iyan. I guess if Rebbe could share on a personal note, is there a different experience in learning when it all clicks and all comes together? And what's the experience like sometimes when just sitting there and there is a bit of a Tzarech Iyan, or there is something which doesn't all seem to come together the same way?
That's a great question. Thank you. Listen, I think everybody has experienced Tzarech Iyans, and even the frustration of feeling that you're like on the cusp of a breakthrough, or that sometimes you just don't really have a good handle on it's a different kind of frustration to feel that you're close to a breakthrough and that it's barely within your grasp, a little bit of like a shir shirim an experience, and it's it kind of magnifies the disappointment or the frustration that you don't get that. That's one kind. And then the other is when you're just in a state of confusion. I think anybody who has ever learned has experienced that, bar none. I can't speak for Moshe Rabbeinu. Maybe his experience was different. Although I'm guessing, Chazal understand and Farshim understand that, in addition to what Moshe Rabbeinu was told, he, extrapolated, a lot. And sometimes he extended, and sometimes he speculated. So I'm guessing even Moshe Rabbeinu had these experiences. And to deny that they are less initially, let's say, edifying than, when everything clicks, and Torah Shebasav and Torah Shebaal Peh, and, all the Rambams, are in sync, or the arguments, are all, consistent, l'shitasam, so that you kind of have a reinforced support, for the hard work that you've been, putting in. Certainly, these are experiences everyone's house. I'll go further. Without those experiences and that frustration, there's no amol, batorah. Just like I was arguing earlier that you can't have a dynamic, intergenerational conversation, without it all being really about transcendence and the presence of the Rabbanu Shalom and understanding his will and his word, and developing a relationship with him. So too, I don't believe that anybody, no matter how intellectually adept they are, is simply capable, of, kind of spinning gold, without a lot of false starts, frustration, hard work, and failed attempts. I think the perspective is, though, if you understand why we're doing all of this and you have a passion for it, so there's an understanding, that is part of the process, number one. And that even the piecemeal, even what you've accomplished, you know, is an enormous accomplishment, something that you build on. You know, to use popular terminology, you know, learning Torah is a marathon, not a sprint. People say, you know, that's one of the cliches that they use that really are true. In the end of Ubikashta Misham, you know, the Rav describes, again, very beautifully, an incident from his childhood or a memory from his childhood, you know, where his father was giving a shiurim in Prussian, where they lived. And, you know, there was a group of young Talmidei Chachamim who would come hear him. And the way the Rav describes it, you know, it's like this intellectual, spiritual adventure of, you know, the Rambam's difficult position was identified. You know, this one tried that to solution, and the one next to him, an alternative solution. And Rav Moshe Soloveitchik Zatzal, you know, was dismissing all of the suggestions. And then he kind of put his hand on his head, and, you know, he sat for a while, you know, and he came up with this, you know, solution, and how exciting it was for the Rav, who was, you know, in his bed, you know, personalizing all of this, you know, in the next room. And the excitement that he had, you know, when his father seemed to have, you know, solved the problem and saved, you know, the Rambam from all of his critics. And it's very beautifully described. And then at the end of the piece, he says, but there were some cases, there were some times when father's solution didn't work, or when he put his hand, you know, over his head, you know, and he didn't come up, you know, with the right answer. He said, and those were like mini crises, you know, my language, but basically what he was saying, you know, for me, you know, listening from the other room, like, why couldn't father solve the problem? And more importantly, like, you know, what are we going to do with the poor Rambam, who's now, you know, under attack, you know, and seemingly defenseless, you know, from all of the difficulties which plague, even father couldn't, you know, come to his rescue. And he describes so beautifully how, you know, he would run into, you know, to his mother, and he would express his, you know, his fear and his anxiety, you know, at this failure. And then his mother would turn to him and say, you know, it's part of the process. You know, father will, you know, take up the issue, you know, another day, and maybe then he'll find, you know, the proper solution. And very beautifully in the end, she says, and if he doesn't, you know, then when you grow up, you know, you'll look at this problem, and you'll be the one who will find the solution. So this is the perspective that we need to cultivate. Again, you don't have to think about the whole story each time, but just engaging Dvar Hashem and understanding what is difficult and understanding what, you know, is plausible, all of that is intrinsically valuable. Just like, you know, understanding the positions of Beis Shammai, even though we don't paskin like Beis Shammai, that too is Chafetz Shel Torah. You know, and that's valuable. You have to know when to paskin a certain way. Mishpat Echad Yelachem, that's very critical to know what the psak is. Al Suke Shmaitz Alib Dehilchasab. But it's also important to appreciate every Chafetz Shel Torah along the way. And, you know, the Gra, you know, commenting on, you know, the Mishnah Peya, who says that, you know, Talmud Torah Ein L'Shir L'mata, so Ein L'Shir, it says, sorry. There's a debate among the Mepharshim whether it means Ein L'Shir L'mala or Ein L'Shir L'mata, meaning as much as you do, you can't do enough, there's always more to do, and you're obligated to do more, what I call the maximalist view, or whatever you do, you're fulfilling the mitzvah, and it's amazing. So the Gra says both of them are true. The Mishnah uses the expression Ein Lam Shior intentionally in an ambiguous way, because both things are true. Ein L'Shir L'mala, Ein L'Shir L'mata. Then he goes on to say that, you know, because every word, every sentence, you know, of Torah that you study is itself of infinite value. I don't believe he quotes Rava, but this is the explanation of Rava. In the Gemara Menachos, when the Gemara discusses, you know, again, this debate about maximalist or minimalist Torah, whether you can be, you know, poter atzmacha b'kriyash mashachas for arvis or not, bagisa yom balayla. So the Gemara says, Abaya says, you can be poter yourself kriyash mashachas for arvis, and then he says, v'osur la'omro b'fnei amaretz. Like, don't, you know, don't publicize this. It's not a good idea. You're going to discourage people from learning. And then the Gemara says, amarava mitzvah la'omro b'fnei am ha'aretz. So of course, that seems, you know, Abaya seems to have the best of that discussion. But in light of the Gra, what the Gra is telling us is, mitzvah la'omro b'fnei am ha'aretz. Even if you can't be successful every time, or you have very high aspirations and standards, which is a good thing, as long as it doesn't frustrate you and deflect you from effort. In the end of the day, whatever sincere effort you put forward is meaningful and valuable, and you can build on it. You know, they say in the name of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, you know, that when somebody asked him, you know, if you have half an hour, you know, a day to learn Musa or to learn, you know, Gemara, you know, what should you do? So supposedly he answered, you know, if you learn Musa, then you'll find, you know, more than half an hour to learn Gemara. But so that's an interesting question too. But the point is that these frustrations, the limitations of age, of the topic, of your own, you know, status in learning, and even, again, among the most accomplished learners, the Chachmei HaMesorah, even then there will be, you know, frankly, not disappointments, but they'll be incomplete, you know, and in some cases, tzarich iyuns. If there weren't, frankly, I'd be worried. It wouldn't be Amol HaTorah, and it wouldn't be Kishem HaShem Ekra HaVogodah Lalokeh. So we try to be successful, but this is certainly part of the process. And that, I think, is also what, you know, some of the Lithuanian Gedolim men, in contrast to Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, they were not so enamored with the study of Musar. Some of them were downright opposed. You know, Rav Chaim, Rav quotes this in Ish Halacha, said, you know, Musar is therapy. You know, people who learn Torah are healthy. You know, they don't need therapy. That's a very idealistic, you know, posture. Trying to combine this and the previous question a little bit more. The Rav, when he writes about it, is already tempering it a lot because he realizes out of experience and other things, you know, that sometimes we need encouragement. And sometimes we need, you know, a perspective about Torah, you know, that comes, you know, a little bit outside, you know, of the Gemara. And that is true, you know, also to dispel some frustration and what would be frustration or disappointment, you know, but to keep us on track to remember, you know, that mitzvah la'omro b'fnei am ha'aretz, and that, you know, Talmud Torah ein lo shir. Of course, we should strive for the most, but even when we, you know, can't, or even when we strive for the most and we don't achieve the way that we want, you know, we're still engaging Dvar Hashem. And there's nothing more meaningful and significant than that.
I'd like to just thank Rebbe so much. Many of us are learning in this base venture throughout the summer and learning up north a little bit, and just the reminder of the Kishem Hashem Ekra, that every time that we sit and learn, it is an encounter with the Ribbono Shel Olam. The reminder that if we do so with the proper attitude, we'll be able to grow, to develop, and further perfect elements of our character. And that even if there are at times tzarich iyuns, and even if there are times where it becomes more challenging, so it's part of a process, and one in which a person, that's very normal, it needs to be there, and one which is a very fundamental part of all that we are trying to do. It's once again just really a lot of hakaras hatov to Rebbe for being here. We very much look forward to being able to for this to be the beginning of a conversation, more opportunities over the next week or so to be able to learn from, and we so much appreciate on behalf of all of the people here all of Rebbe's time. Marv will be in just a couple of minutes at 10:15.
Shabbat.
Thanks so much.
What you wanted?
That was perfect. Yeah,
great.